We're continuing through the ACBC theology exam, and tonight's topic is, the essay is Explain What It Means to Trust in Jesus Christ Alone for Salvation. And we have a great privilege to work through these things. I mean, this is what it's all about. So let's go ahead and pray, and we will jump into it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have, and I pray, Lord, that your word would be very edifying to your people, convicting and convincing, and that we would come away with a greater trust in you, a greater commitment to Christ, and that just even more willing to lay our lives down for him. So help us tonight, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so last time we talked, last week was the graduation celebration, but before that we covered question 13 on the doctrine of substitutionary atonement, the fact that Jesus both lived and died as our substitute, so that the punishment for our sins was laid on him and his righteousness was credited to us. And this accomplished our forgiveness and reconciliation with God so that we would be counted, because of Christ, we would be counted worthy of eternal life. Though we are not worthy in ourselves, he counts us worthy in Christ. And to be allowed to be in his kingdom, his eternal kingdom. So, in accomplishing this, Jesus became not only a way of salvation, but the way of salvation. And that's our topic tonight, the exclusivity of salvation in Christ, faith in Christ alone. What does it mean to trust in him alone for salvation? Many will say that Jesus is a way of salvation. Many people don't have a problem with Jesus being a way, that he was a good man. You can be saved through following his example of love and good works, but they will reject the idea that he's the only way. They would say that Buddhists and Hindus and Mormons and Muslims and Catholics and Orthodox Jews and even pagans who do good works, that they can be saved, that they can enter eternal life and heaven and whatever you want to call that, the afterlife. If they lead a good life, then you'll be fine, according to... That's really the world religion that we have right now, right? That's kind of the common religion of our pluralistic society. Now, each of those, like Muslims, or hardcore Muslims, don't believe that. But there are moderate Muslims who believe that if you're just a good religious person, then God will be good to you. But this concept contradicts Jesus' own words. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. So he is saying here, I am the only way of salvation. This also contradicts the preaching of the apostles. Acts 4:12 says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So there's no other name. Everyone who is going to be saved has to be saved through the name of Christ. Okay, so fair enough, some will say, Jesus is the only way of salvation, but you don't necessarily have to know that or believe that in order to be saved. So this is becoming popular among even Christian and evangelical circles that Jesus is the way, okay? Everyone who's saved is going to be saved because Jesus died for them. But anyone who lives a good life in some, remote island who's never heard of him can be saved by just being moral, good people, or by believing their concept of God and being faithful to that. But this contradicts the clear teaching of Scripture. Listen to Acts 16:31. This is the Philippian jailer who says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do in order to be saved?" Well, I mean, was their answer, "Well, hey, just be a good person. What God do you worship? Okay, Just be faithful to that God and worship Him and just be honest and nice to people and don't hurt people. Was that their answer? No. He says, what must I do to be saved? They say, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. So not only is Jesus the only way to the Father, the salvation that He offers comes by faith, and that salvation that He offers comes by faith alone in Him. You must trust Him. I don't know if I'm making any sense with that phraseology there. So Jesus is the only way, and the way to be saved through that only way is by faith alone in Him, trusting alone in Him. For what? What is it that you're trusting in? You must believe the truth about Him, who He is, and as we've covered in this class, that He is fully God and fully man, the dual natures of Christ, and what He has done on your behalf as your substitutionary sacrifice. What does it mean then to believe in this way? What does it mean? What does this look like? What does it mean to trust in Him? It really means to entrust yourself to Him for salvation. It means that you actually trust what He says. You believe His words. So to trust in Christ alone for salvation is to really give yourself fully, entrusting yourself completely to His care, believing what He has said, believing that He will do what He has promised. That means that if you want to be saved, that to trust in Him alone means there's some things that you must not trust in. You must not trust in man. So you're not trusting in a guru or a spiritual leader to be saved. You're not trusting in a pastor or your parents. You're not trusting in a Bible study leader or a radio preacher to be saved. You trust in Christ alone. Number two, you must not trust in religious rituals. So you don't come to God to be saved through Hail Marys, through baptism, through taking the Lord's Supper, through showing up at church. These things, if you're trusting in those things to be saved, then you don't know the Lord. You're trusting in the wrong thing for salvation. Number three, you must not trust in your own righteousness. This was the fault of the Pharisees, right? They trusted in themselves that they were righteous, that you were good enough to earn your salvation, that you can do good works. So to trust in Christ alone for salvation means you're not trusting in yourself, in your own goodness and your own worthiness. Number four, you must not trust in your heritage. The Jews really trusted strongly in the fact that they were descendants of Abraham and that automatically granted them access into the kingdom of God. Jesus says, don't count on the fact that you are Abraham's descendants. God can raise up, the stones to be Abraham's descendants. Your heritage doesn't make you right with God. You can't trust in that. Your dad could be a pastor. Your great-grandpa could be a pastor. Everyone in your family for the last six generations could be a pastor, could be a Baptist. And that means that you don't inherit that. You cannot trust in that for your salvation. You must trust in Christ alone. And number five, you must not trust in any other God, any idol, any other system of religion. So to trust in, there are many who would love to throw Christ into their bag of tricks, into their pile of their eclectic pile of faith, right? You add Jesus to this. I remember MacArthur telling a story about how he had just shared the gospel with this Buddhist, and the guy prayed to you know, to receive Christ and to repent. And then he says, wonderful, now I can have Jesus and Buddha. And you know, obviously MacArthur was like, yeah, no, that's not how this works. To trust in Christ alone means to reject every other means of salvation. This happened a lot when the Catholic Church sent missionaries all around the world to Mexico, for example. They would simply show up and they would adopt a lot of the local deities and then just replace the names of those deities with saints, right? And so now, okay, basically your religion's the same. We're just going to kind of mix it up and overlay it with Catholic doctrine, and now you're Catholics, right? And we just mix this up and you can keep your superstitious ways, right? That's why Catholicism looks different in different parts of the world, because they just syncretize. They blended together. So salvation comes not only by trusting in Christ, but trusting in Christ alone as your means of salvation. Trusting in Christ, not your works, not in man, not in religious rituals, not in your own righteousness, not in your heritage, and not in any idols. And I think the biggest thing that people tend to trust in are their own works. And this is what the scriptures go after the most heavily. Listen to Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 1. You can go ahead and turn there, because we're going to read a lot, because I want you to hear this over and over from the scriptures. But Romans 10, 1 through 17, this is Paul speaking of the Jews. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. Speaking of the Jews. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. Okay? So notice something there. His desire is for their salvation, meaning they're not saved. He wants them to be saved. And he points out here that they have a zeal for God, but it's a zeal that's not in accordance with knowledge, or not in accordance with what is true. So their zeal for God was not enough for their salvation. Verse 3, for not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. How so? Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So what he's saying there is Christ made an end of pursuing righteousness, being made right with God through the law. So if you have a zeal for God, but it is not in accordance with the truth of the scripture that Christ is your righteousness, then you are not saved. You are still lacking what is necessary for salvation. Verse 5, for Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. And here's what this means. Here's what it looks like. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's in essence what it means to trust alone in Christ. You confess that he is Lord, you believe God raised him from the dead. Verse 10, with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. And whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay? So they need to believe. They need to understand this truth. And it's so important and so urgent. Look at verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? So if someone's to be saved, they have to actually cognitively grasp the gospel of salvation in Christ alone that has to be preached to them, that has to make it to their its way to their ears, to their understanding. And they don't have to understand every aspect of it, but they need to understand that salvation is in Christ. And if they don't, then they will not be saved. If they don't have this knowledge, they will not be saved. And how will they, verse 15, how will they preach unless they're sent, just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So, verse 17, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. And he as he had been explaining in Romans, salvation comes through faith. So salvation comes by faith or by believing God, trusting in Christ alone, and that comes from hearing the word of God. So no one will be saved unless they hear the word of God and believe. Or, I mean, if you're deaf, obviously you read the word of God. It's communicated to you somehow. The concepts are communicated to you somehow. Those are the people that will be saved. So let's go to Romans 3, verses 19 through 28. Romans 3, 19 through 28. So now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. He's speaking of the law of God, the law of Moses. So no one will be saved by keeping the law of Moses. The whole purpose of the law was to give you the knowledge of sin. Verse 21, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified by as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier, the one who has faith in Jesus. So where then is boasting? It's excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This is why Jesus had to die, right? You could not be justified by your own works. God brought the law through Moses to expose your need of righteousness, your complete lack of righteousness. And then he provided a substitutionary atonement in Christ. And the whole point of the law was to drive you to that point where you realized you needed a Savior. And when Christ showed up, your faith would be put in him as the only perfect man, the God-man who died in your place. And you are saved by believing him, by trusting in him alone. Paul said this in Philippians 3. He used to be trusting in his own righteousness. He says, but whatever things were gained to me, those I've counted loss for the sake of Christ. He says that I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes through God on the basis of faith. So, one of the things I just want to do tonight, we can talk more and more on a theological level, but I really want to just hear from Jesus himself. And when you see it repeated so often over and over again, because I think this is a place where we're tempted to doubt God's goodness. We're tempted to doubt whether or not this is really the case. We don't like the fact that there are people out there that we would consider good people who will be condemned who never heard the gospel. But you see this repeated by our Lord Jesus, and you either accept this or you reject it. And we dare not straddle the fence on this. You cannot accept Jesus as a good man but not as Savior. So I want to hear from him, and we're going to read a lot from the Gospel of John tonight. And I just want you, with these concepts in mind, the fact that Jesus is the only way of salvation, by faith alone in him, I want that to be just in your mind as we read these passages. So first we're going to go to John chapter 1, verses 6 through 13. It says, "There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light," John was not the light, "but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But," verse 12, "as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So salvation comes to those who received him, to those who believed in him. Those are the ones that he gives the right to become the children of God. Chapter 3, verse 14 through 18. Listen to this, Moses speaking to Nicodemus. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So the ones who believe are not judged. The ones who do not believe, they are judged. Verse 36, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Now there's a key concept there. It's a kind of there's a parallel going on in this verse. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son. Do you see how believe and obey are used almost interchangeably in this context? So that implies, and you see this over and over in Scripture, that if you believe God, you follow him. If you believe God, you obey him. If you believe God and you know clearly what he has communicated to you, you will follow his commands. And your obedience comes from faith because you have trusted him. In Romans, it talks about how Abraham believed God, and that's what was counted to him as righteousness. But you see, that faith in God's promise led Abraham to leave everything behind and follow God's commands, to go to a country, to a place that God would show him. Abraham's faith was demonstrated in obedience. Here, if you believe in Jesus, you will obey him. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So to trust in him alone will result in obedience in your life. You see this in the book of Hebrews many times, that faith and obedience are two sides of the same coin. And that's a whole nother topic. John 5, 21 through 24. "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into judgment." So, if you want to say that you know God and you belong to God, but you reject Jesus, you are a liar. You are believing complete falsehoods. And God's, you will not inherit eternal life. You will be judged. That's what he's saying. That if you do not honor Jesus, you do not honor God. John 6, 44 through 48. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Okay, so this is how this can be true, right? God has designed it this way, that only those whom he draws will come, and everyone that he draws to him will come. And he has so designed it that those who come to him will come to him in faith and obedience. He has guaranteed it. So this is why you can look at James and see that faith without works is dead. It's not real faith. Because if God is at work in you, it will produce good work by you. 1 John says that if his seed abides in you, then you will produce godly fruit. So to trust, to believe God, to be saved by faith alone in Christ means that the characteristic of your life is that you believe him. And how is that believing in him shown? It is shown by actually following him. And if you don't follow him, you don't believe him. And if you don't believe him, you're not saved. Do you see? So you're not saved by doing good works, but faith is shown in following God and doing what he has said. Before I was saved, I remember hearing verses like that. James, you know, faith without works is dead. Oh, I better start doing some works, because that means if I'm not doing works, then my faith is dead, right? Rather than looking at my life and realizing, wow, there's a lack of good works in my life. There's something wrong with my faith. There's something wrong with what I believe. There's something wrong with how I think about Jesus. So no one can come to me unless the one who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. And everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Everyone, every single person who God has taught in their heart comes to Jesus. So there's not a single person out there who is right with God who is not also right with Jesus, who has not also come to Jesus. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God, he has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. John 8, 21 through 24. Then he said again to them, I go away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. And where I'm going, you cannot come. He's again speaking to those who did not believe in him. And he was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, I am the Messiah, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. John 8, 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come to on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You, are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me, Jesus says. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. So anyone who would not listen and receive the words of Christ, they are not of God. And the reason they don't listen is because they're not of God. The reason they don't understand his words, the reason they don't come to him, is because they're not of God. And instead they listen to their father, the devil, doing his works. John 10:25. Jesus answered, he said, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me. He is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So if you don't believe, it's because you're not of my sheep. If you don't, and this is the characteristic of a sheep, that they hear his voice and they follow him. Though they are the ones that follow Jesus. Why do they follow him? Because they trust him. Because they believe him. That's why they follow him. It's not, you see, trust in Christ alone. You see this in the book of John, right? That you may believe that he is the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. It is not only believing that he died for you that saves you. It's believing he is the Son of God, which means all of my devotion is owed to him. All of my loyalty is owed to him. Everything that he has said that he died as a propitiation for my sins. I believe that. He has said that he is the Lord of all creation. I believe that. He said he's coming again. I believe that. A believer believes him, everything he says. And therefore, they trust him. They believe he will fulfill his promise to them. And they follow him. Those who don't believe, those who don't hear the words of God, those who don't follow him, the reason is because they don't hear them. They don't pay attention to them. They don't grasp them. They don't trust them. The reason is because they are not of God. John 10:25. Did I say this already? Yes, I did. John 11:23, just in case, you know, just in case we didn't get it. Jesus said, your brother will rise. This is Lazarus, who had just died. Your brother will rise again. And Martha, Lazarus' sister, said this, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? John 12:26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant also will be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. If you serve Christ, that means you follow him. Okay? You cannot... Jesus said this at different points. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? If you serve him, you'll follow him. Many times, in an effort to make up for not following him, we do great acts of sacrifice in order to make up for not following him. I knew a guy that would give his tithe faithfully thinking that that made up for years of adultery. That God blessed him in spite of his adultery because he gave his tithe regularly. How warped is that? If you think if you want to serve him, you must follow him. John 14:1-15. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwellings. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that would be enough for us. And Jesus said to him, Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Chapter 14, verse 21, he keeps going. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas Iscariot said to him, Lord, of course, it's the one that didn't believe in him that throws up Someone help me out here. Huh? Objection. That's what I was looking for. Judas, the one who didn't believe in him, is the one that throws the objection here. If anyone loves me, he says, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So, if you love him, you will follow him. You will trust him in him alone. There is no one else worthy of this trust. There's no one else worthy of entrusting your life to. As you see, that if you want to be right with God, you have to come through the Son. You have to believe in him. To believe in him, you actually have to hear the word of the gospel. You have to actually hear about him and process that and believe it. And if you honor Christ, if you believe Christ, then you honor God. So that's what it means to trust alone in Christ for salvation, not in yourself, not in your works, not in any religious rituals, not in any man, any gurus, not in any pastors, not in your heritage. Trust alone in Christ for salvation. What does it mean to trust? It means to believe him and entrust yourself to him and follow him. And all who do that, he says, I will raise you up on the last day. You are mine, and I will never lose you, and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So, let us preach that gospel. Let us follow him. And if you find yourself not, if you find that you proclaim some kind of a faith in him, but you never do what he says, you never obey him, you need to question that what kind of faith that is. Because it's not the kind of faith that saves if you never do what he says. So let's pray, and we'll break into our groups, okay? Father, we come to you as the one who, you are in control of all things, and you are the one who draws, you are the one who saves, you are the one who sanctifies. And because you have designed it this way, Lord, all who come to you are the ones that follow you, and you give them the love for Christ, the trust in him. You give them the faith that they need to grow. So, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who has never really trusted Jesus, that they would repent today and really believe in him, that he is the Son of God who has died and rose again on their behalf, so that they would be reconciled to God, that they would give all of their sins to you, and that you would give them your righteousness, and that you would begin to work out their salvation in their life and in their heart. So, Father, help us today, motivate us to follow our beloved Savior, and teach us your ways, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.